91. We greet you this evening also in the wonderful worthy name of Jesus. We might honor him and glorify him. We're thinking of each one of us this evening. What we have espoused to, which is the church of the true and living God. And I like this, I'm going to Matthew. I appreciate our opening this evening, to serve our Lord with our whole heart. You know, it's difficult sometimes when we live in a world of corruption, a world of, like Dwayne mentioned, all around us. But if we can keep focused on the Lord Jesus and what he has done for us and what he has supplied to us, it makes it easier that we can be focused on him a little more. Matthew, the 16th chapter, is we like this account. It's a short one of Jesus with the disciples, and we'll probably read a few verses here. The 13th verse of this 16th chapter of Matthew. And probably go down to about the 19th. You're all familiar with this. But Jesus, in the 13th verse, says, "When Jesus came unto the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, and one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." I think we'll stop there this time. It's interesting that Peter gave such a wonderful answer to Jesus, and Jesus recognized that it wasn't from Peter, but it was from his Father that from heaven that gave him that vision of who Jesus is and was, and in the past. There's been some controversy in this few verses, in that Jesus went on to say, "And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." So we want to talk about a little bit here of what Jesus was addressing Peter, and of course we all know that There's some that claim that Peter was the rock that was to be built upon, and so they want to exalt him and to promote him and to claim him as their leader of their church. But if we look at this a little closer, the Greek word for Peter is Petros, and that means a piece of rock. And so it was a small rock that Peter is named, stands for. And in the rock that it mentions here, upon this rock I will build my church, is a different Greek word, Petra, which is a massive rock. And so that's one way we can determine what Jesus is saying here. I think we could think about this also as Jesus was saying this. He probably put his hand to his chest when he said, upon this rock, I'll build my church. And so that's our thrust tonight. And we want to talk about his church or my church, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that we are a part of that. We give our whole heart unto it. And we put our trust there that we could promote this kingdom of God. You know, I guess we would like to just interject here possibly the purpose of the church. And we thought about this at the last minute somewhat. I don't know what your answer would be to that, what the purpose of the church is. But I thought, well, it would be to glorify God. I mean, that's what God desires of us, that we would glorify him, that he would be glorified in the world and in the church and in eternity. And so I was trying to figure out what scripture would maybe back that up. And I went to Ephesians, the fifth chapter, and I liked, this doesn't say it all, but in the fifth chapter of Ephesians, the 25th verse, we'll read about three verses here. We'll start in the middle of the 25th verse. Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having rot, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. As I was looking at this, you know, it says that he would present it to himself, to the Lord Jesus. Well, that's what Paul is saying, that Christ would present the church to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that it might be holy and without blemish. And that is our goal, really, that we would be holy and without blemish. So that, I think, is one definition, partly, that we could come up with, that, you know, it's to be a glorious church, it's to glorify God and his son Jesus, because he gave his life for the church. And so that's one thing we've come up with. And there's some other not particular scriptures that we had thought about. You know, I think it's been said before, the church is like a hospital. It's a place for sin-sick souls. that we could be cared for, and we could even be made alive again by the church. The church is a place to be revived and to be directed towards the Lord Jesus. Is one part of that, of the purpose of the church. The other one we thought about was the church as a vehicle. We've heard that before. It's as a vehicle for us. If you don't get in, you won't get there. I think we need to be a part of a body. We need to be a part of a body that worships God. And so that would conform to this, that we need to be in the church. We need to be a part of that body, that we can be together and be called the Church of God, the body that is going to be the bride, the body that's going to enjoy eternity. So that's some of the thoughts we had on the purpose of the church. The other one we come up with, the church is a light to the world. And it's not a service to the world. We don't serve the world. We shine a light into the world that they might see the Lord Jesus. They might get the light that Jesus is shining forth from the throne of God, that they might find a way for salvation to their through the church. So that's some thoughts we had on the purpose of the church. We was reading a book recently, and we'll just give you a little bit of that. There was a man riding in a train, in a sleeping car, and he was annoyed by a crying of a child. And finally, he called out gruffly, "Why does not the mother of that child take care of it?" But it was a man's voice that replied, "My friend, the mother of that child is in a pine box in the baggage car. And I am doing the best I can for the poor little thing." When he heard this, it was not long until the gruff man humbly apologized, and he himself was carrying the motherless child while the poor, tired, bereaved father was trying to get a little rest. So if only the world would understand the church instead of criticizing it, it'd be a better world. And then in that caption in that book also was, "It is easy to rail upon the church. Any fool can do that, but it is not easy to provide something to take the place of it." I don't know what would take the place of the church. And that's kind of what he was referring to. You know, we can have all kinds of comments about the church does this and the church does that, and and how we fail so often. But when you really come down to it, what can take the place of the church in the world? You know, it's a place of refuge. It's a place of comfort. It's a place, you know, where we all are not perfect people. None of us are perfect. In fact, we need each other because we fail. And but in the church, we have a place we can be forgiven because Jesus died for that church. He gave his blood for that church. And so it's a light to those that need salvation, those that need comfort And so this is part of what we want to encourage us tonight as we think about the church. We're going to go to, first of all, thinking about, we'll go back to the Matthew and about the rock that that Jesus was talking about, that the rock of the church is going to be built upon that rock, and thinking about what the this denomination, I'll call it. I think you'll know what I mean. St. Peter's Basilica, they have exalted the Peter, the Apostle Peter, and they have made a huge cathedral for him. And they claim that he died there and that he is buried there in this cathedral. And it's a huge basilica, they call it. And so that's the ones that think that Peter has the keys to the kingdom. And so they claim that as they're having the key to the kingdom of God. And so it's deceiving to many people. There's so many people that are following that and believing that. But we just want to, again, I'd like to go to 1 Corinthians and talk about the rock that Paul was talking about in 1 Corinthians 10th chapter. I believe it's in the fourth verse here. I guess I'll start at the first verse of the 10th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea and did all eat the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. And so again, it's a confirmation that that the rock was not Peter, but it was the Lord Jesus. The rock was Christ. It says here in I believe it's Paul is telling us that. So as we think about the church, there's lots of examples of the church in the Bible. And I think we can all relate, and we want us to be a part of that. One example of that is it refers to us as a building. And how the building is put together and how it works together. And we're going to probably go to that first. But there's another example as a human body. And that's in 1 Corinthians 12. And also in Romans 12. Talks about that, the human body. And then another place in Ephesians talks about the body. The church as a bride, the bride of Christ, the family is together and how they work together, and so it's a different examples, and he talks about the in Matthew 25 talks about the bridegroom and the foolish virgins and whether they were ready or not. And it refers to the body, the church of God. And it just warns us that we need to be ready. We need to be ready to meet the Lord. And then in John, another example would be the sheep, the shepherd and the sheep. So I trust that, you know, these examples are for us to understand how the church is to work and to operate in the world. And then another one would be the vine and the branches, and that's in John 15. We need to be connected to the vine. And we're not the vine, we're just the branches. And so we're connected to that. And if we're broken off from the vine, then we die because we don't have the source of life. And so that's another example. And then we can think of another one would be Ephesians 6, talks about the Christian soldiers. You know, we're in a warfare. And so there's armor that gives us examples of the armor that we should have. So we're going to go back to 1 Corinthians, I believe, and read the 1 Corinthians, the third chapter. And read a few verses here about the ninth verse to the 13th verse. Speaks of, this is the about the church as a body or as a building. And so for we are laborers together with God, who with God ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building, according to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon the foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If that's where we were going to stop there. Well, we want to read it maybe just a little bit further here. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. That 15th verse is, we're not going to, we don't have an answer for that. But we want to look back up here in the ninth verse. It says, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. And so he's telling us that each one of us that are believers are laborers together with God. We're working with him. He is working with us through the Lord Jesus. And you are God's building. So I get out of this that, each one of us is going to need to build. Each one of us is going to need to work on this foundation that he talks about here, that is the Lord Jesus. With the 11th verse, it says, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So that's the foundation we have to build on. And so there's no other foundation that we need to go to. And Paul is saying here in the 10th verse, in the first part of that verse, he says, I am the wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. I think that Paul is instructing the Corinthians that he has given them the foundation, which is Jesus Christ, and for them to build upon what he has given them, because there was no scriptures except the old law is all they had. And Corinthians were of course Gentiles, and so Paul is telling them that he is a wise master builder, and the foundation is laid, which is Jesus Christ, and they have received that by the preaching of Paul, and to the believers there at Corinth, and so now he's encouraging them. In verse 11, he says, "No other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." And so all other foundations are inferior. And we think about that. What kind of foundation, other foundations would we work on? What would we build on? Well, you think about that a little bit, and man can go different directions. There's wealth out there, and man will build on wealth. He likes what he has done, and so wealth is a problem in building on a foundation that's inferior. We could say success. We like to think about what we've done so often, and so we're self-sufficient. And so we build on those things, and that's not what the foundation should be. It's so easy for me to think about what we have and what we've done, and we start building on that, and we just puff ourselves up a little bit, and it's a bad foundation, and it won't work. I don't know how long ago it's been. It was maybe a week or two ago. I don't know if you've seen it in the news or not, but at Outer Banks, there was a couple houses that went into the ocean, and I don't know if you understand what's happening there. But we was out there about 35 years ago, I guess it is now, and they were building new houses there in Outer Banks. That's South Carolina, I believe. And there was open houses, and so we went in and talked to some of them there, and they said they're on stilts. All those houses along Outer Banks there is built on stilts. And I said, well, how far down do you go to get bedrock? He says, there is no bedrock. There's no bottom, really. And so we drive these posts down about 8 feet, something like that, and they float. In other words, it moves because it's all sand. And so I just had to think about that. As what the scripture says about building on the sand, and Matthew 7, maybe we'll just read a few verses there about the man that built on the sand or on the rock. In Matthew 7, the 24th verses to the 27th, is what we'll look at here for just a minute. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. So again, it's a warning how we build. But really, he's not talking about building in a sense. What we need to pick up here is, in the 24th verse, it says, therefore, whosoever heareth these things of mine and doeth them, is built upon a rock. So that's the crux there, that we hear and we do them. In the 26th verse, it says, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto the foolish man which built his house upon the sand. So it's a test for us whether we hear and whether we do. That is what Jesus was teaching them there, that we need to hear what he has told us, but then also to do the commandments that he has asked us to do. So we might just follow him. We might be obedient unto him if we want to be a part of this church. We want to be a part of his church and built upon the foundation that he has laid out for us. So each one of us need to build. Let's look at the verse 10 back in 1 Corinthians, the third chapter, in the 10th verse. In the latter part of that verse, in the first part of that verse says, according to the grace of God which is given unto me, I am a wise master builder, hath laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. In other words, he's telling the Corinthians that he's laid the foundation, which is Jesus Christ, and then they need to build upon that church, on that foundation. They need to begin to build on that and be active and do what God has instructing us to do. In the latter part of that, but he says, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. He's warning us to be careful how we build. Well, what's he saying? Well, let's go down to the 12th verse. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. Because it says here, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. So it's if you look at those materials that Paul is talking about building with on this foundation, gold, silver, and precious stones, that probably will withstand the heat. That will withstand the fire. But if we build with wood, hay, and stubble, it's going to be lost. It's going to be destroyed because of the fire will try it. And so what is this hay? What is these things that Paul is telling us to build with? Well, we could, as we thought about this, we need to build with sound doctrine. We need to know the doctrine and build with what God has given us, the doctrine that he has taught us with, being spiritually sensitive. In other words, being spiritually sensitive to others and the needs of others and how we can help each other and care for each other. And he's saying, take heed how he buildeth. So we need to not do it for to exalt myself or to boast or to speak. How do I want to say it? We build ourselves up so often by doing things for others, and we just need to be careful that we don't hang a flag out or something and see what I'm doing. And so it's just that we, by our conduct, you know, our conversation, our attitudes, is my actions, do I act and look like the world? If I'm looking that way, maybe I'm not part of the church. Maybe I'm of the world. So it just, we just need to be careful how we are building upon this foundation. Some of the things that we could build with would be our nonconformity, non-resistance, non-swearing. Those are principles of the church, and it's principles in the Bible, and that we need to exercise in them. And the methods that we have established for that for these principles is the way we live. Trust we can live these principles out by the methods we've set up. You know, like the sisters, they have their uniform, they have their prayer covering, and there is so many comments of that because of the nice way they look. And they're modest, and it takes care of that, some of the non-conformities that we think about in the Bible. And so this is some of the things that we can build with. And, trust that the fire will not destroy what we have done, what we are doing. Not that we, are anything special, but that you are special to the Lord Jesus. You are His children. You are His church, and that's what He has given His life for. That He wants the church to be a part of Him. So, as we think about this, I wondered about this. I'm going to just make comment on this. In the 15th verse of this, I said I wouldn't comment much on this. But if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. I don't know how to explain that or what that looks like. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. I'll just comment on what I found out in a commentary, which I was surprised. But it said that they developed purgatory out of that scripture. Now, I don't understand how for sure they could do that. But that's what the commentary said, that they derived purgatory out of that scripture there, that they that every man's work shall be burned, that if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet as by fire. I suppose, you know, purgatory, they try to they charge a fee, and then they pray for you that you would be delivered out of the fire or delivered out of hell. I don't know other than that what they're really trying to say. Well, let's go to we want to go to 1 Peter First Peter 2. Went to think about the cornerstone. First Peter 2, 6 speaks of that. Maybe we ought to start let's look at verse 5 and we'll read a few verses. Ye also, as lively stones, are built by a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So what he's warning us here, that we need to go to the, you know, as you build physical buildings, there's always a benchmark, and you build off of that benchmark, which would be the cornerstone. And so you go to that cornerstone, and you derive the rest of the building. You create your building by going back to that cornerstone, and you pull a line, and you lay the foundation, or the foundation is already laid. So you lay the walls out as to how you're building on this foundation. And so that's what he is saying here. It's a matter of obedience or disobedience. And so if we don't line up to the cornerstone, we're in disobedience. But if we line up to the cornerstone, as the Lord Jesus has established for us, then we are building upon the foundation that God has that Jesus has supplied for us. And otherwise, it becomes a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. So we need to go back to the cornerstone and go from Jesus Christ, the cornerstone, and build from him, and eliminate my thinking somewhat that we need this or we need that in our building, or we need to go out this way or that way from our natural building, our spiritual building. We need to stay in the realms of what the scripture, our doctrine, which is the word of God, has been given to us. And so we just appreciate what we have. We just appreciate the church. I don't know that we will elaborate much more thinking about the different examples in the Bible as to what we can understand. If you're a shepherd, then you would maybe understand that a little bit better than what I would. So we've been given by the apostles and by Jesus, how we need to live and how we need to work and promote the kingdom and the church of God. So we just want to encourage us this evening that we serve a living God. We serve a God with our whole heart, that we can be a part of that eternal kingdom when He gives the shout that takes us out, as Dwayne has told us. And so it's coming. He's coming again one of these days. Things don't look that good, so it could be any time. So let us be ready and waiting, because He's coming for His bride. The Lord bless you.